It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters. Many of you were not happy about our report yesterday about the artwork that produces fake excrement. Some of you objected to the piece itself, others to its consumption of food in a world where people go hungry, and some offered corrections.
For example, Darren Croft of the biology department at the University of Chicago took issue with our pronunciation of the exhibit's name. The artist, Wim Delvoye, apparently calls his work cloaca. Mr. Croft writes, "From a zoological standpoint, your report was a little like listening to someone scrape their fingernails on a blackboard. The correct pronunciation of the word cloaca is with a long A sound in the middle, not a short one. Although the word may not make its way into everyday conversation, it is a well-known term amongst zoologists. It refers to the common cavity into which the intestinal, genital, and urinary tracts open in vertebrates, such as fish, reptiles, birds, and some primitive mammals."
Some of you noticed a misplaced adjective in our report in the Yiddish radio series that focused on Charles Levine's historic flight across the Atlantic. We referred to Charles Lindbergh's solo flight being the first transatlantic voyage through the air. Not true, according to, among others, Paul Silberman of Greenbelt, Maryland. He writes, "The honor of being the first to fly across the Atlantic nonstop falls to Captain John Alcock and Lieutenant Arthur Whitten Brown, who crossed from St. John's, Newfoundland, to Clifton, Ireland in June 1919.
And our description of the funeral services for England's Queen Mother prompted this note from Thomas Campbell of New York. "You said that the Queen Mother was laid to rest in Westminster Abbey. This was incorrect. Her body was taken to Windsor, where it was interred in St. George's Chapel next to her husband, King George VI.
Not everyone wrote in to complain, though. Jim Moyers of Knoxville, Tennessee, enjoyed our story about how the Brazilian tourist agency was alarmed by a recent episode of The Simpsons. The cartoon had characterized the country as unsafe and plagued by attack monkeys. As a resident of a state that is often maligned by The Simpsons, including an episode insulting my home city of Knoxville, Bart and Friends' attempt to visit the 1982 Knoxville World's Fair 15 years too late, I say to the Brazilians, get over yourselves. No one of normal intelligence would believe that visitors to Rio are subject to unprovoked monkey attacks any more than they would believe that the Sun Sphere, symbol of the 1982 World's Fair, now houses a wig shop selling Technicolor Dolly Parton wigs."
And Jamie Taylor of Santa Monica, California, thanks us for our interview with rock music critic Jane Scott, who is retiring at the age of 82. "Your report was a welcome respite from the Middle East miasma that seems to be emanating 24/7 from the airwaves," he writes. "Although I smile to think that Ms. Scott and I share a similar musical taste, I was moved to write by the story's exit music. When Lou Reed's intro to Sweet Jane kicked in, I found myself out of my chair, place dancing to that anthem, and air guitaring the riffs. Thank God no one walked past my office, and thank you for both audibly and musically brightening my day."
However we affect you, we'd like you to write. Our email address is atc@npr.org. Please remember to tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.